Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Come right in. Lie down on the couch. The doctor will see you now. This is the true definition of sports psychology. This hour of The Jeff Blair Show begins now. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Well, it started out down a dirty road.
You know, one of the best things about watching the Toronto Maple Leafs at this stage of their development, I mean, I kind of figured this out last night, you know, watching a little bit of that 3-2 loss to the Minnesota Wild, you know, even before I heard some of the post-game interviews. I kind of think one of the best things about watching the Leafs right now is that in a lot of ways, they are a walking, talking, breathing, skating cliche. You know, all those favorite throwaway lines that usually call us or usually cause us to roll our eyes, you know, they kind of seem remarkably apt with this young group. You know, one night after torching that 4-goal lead to the Winnipeg Jets, the Leafs lost, losing another lead. And through 4 games now, I believe they've been outscored something like 8-1 after the second period. And, you know, that, of course, led Nazem Kadri to remark that, you know, one of the things this group needs to do is learn how to play with a lead. Now, again, that's another one of those old cliches. But you know what? It's entirely accurate in this case. You know, I also figured out that it's going to take a little re-education on the part of Leafs fans, you know, and folks like myself who, I admit it, you know, we've been spending a lot of time watching the Blue Jays, about how to watch this particular team. You know, it's almost as if we're going to have to grow and learn along with them. And there will be nights, quite frankly, I thought last night was one of them, where the fact that their best players are just so callow, despite their talent, it's going to be exposed against bigger, older teams. That's all there is to it. I mean, watch the game, and you're going to find yourself gritting your teeth and clenching your fists. I mean, there will be nights. Well, there are going to be nights, in other words, where talent is just simply going to be trumped by experience. And you know what? It won't be painful to watch, I don't think, as much as it will be frustrating. Because I think a lot of people are going to be playing along with these guys. And I got to tell you, in many of those occasions, you know, cliches might be the only thing we have to fall back on. Cliches in the fact that this really is a team that is not just trying to learn to win together, but they're still trying to learn to play together.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
We just got to learn to play with the lead. I mean, we're doing a lot of good things to get in the lead and to get out front, especially on the road. But at the end of the day, you know, we're going through some tough breaks, but we still got to make it happen.
See, I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, normally you get those post-game interviews and kind of, oh, God, here we go, another cliche. But that's entirely accurate, and that's something we've seen from this team through its first 4 games. It's not so much its inability to get the lead, it's an inability to hang on to the lead. And I think if you're a Leafs fan, you know, let's face it, we're going to be looking, we're going to be trying to find a lot of positives this year. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, they're a good young team. There's a lot of young talent. There's certainly more skill than the Leafs have had in a long time. It's a hell of a lot better watching William Nylander and Austin Matthews and Nikita Zaitsev try to figure out how to make a lead hold up compared to a bunch of guys in their mid-30s who really aren't going to have much of a future in the league. But there are going to be nights. There are going to be nights where you're going to turn off the TV set and you're going to be left realizing just how far away these guys really are from being a team capable of contending for a playoff spot. And that's fine. I think we're aware of that. As I said, it's a lot better to be that type of team with a bunch of young guys than it is with a bunch of older guys. But you know, last night's game, on a Thursday night in October, you're going to get a lot of those games. You know, it's not going to be necessarily against a marquee team. It's not going to be a home game. It's going to be a road game. And there are going to be a lot of nights where it's almost going to be like you're watching somebody go through finishing school. And you're just going to sit there and watch, and you're going to go, why was that mistake made? Why was that shot not taken? Why did that guy get such a clean look? And like I said, I thought last night just kind of was one of those games that kind of reinforced that. This is a Jeff Blair Show. I am Jeff Blair. Stephen Brunt joins us in a few minutes. We will have a Blue Jays roundtable at 10 o'clock. Shai Davidi and Arden Zwelling joining us as we wrap up the 2016 Blue Jays season. Cliff Floyd joins us in Baseball Central as well. And we'll take a look at the Cubs and Dodgers, the NLCS. The Cubs now leading that series after another beatdown last night. But before we delve in to the Blue Jays and into baseball, it's time to bring in our NHL insider from TVS Sports, Ren Lavoie. Good morning, Mr. Lavoie.
Good morning to you, too.
I was watching last night's game, and I was thinking, Felipe Alou told me one time, we have this argument in baseball all the time about whether or not, it makes sense, for example, for a young team to spend a lot of money on a closer. What's the point of spending money on a closer when you're not going to win? And Felipe's response, and we talked about this one time when it came to the Expos, his response was, look, if you've got a young team, it's true. If you've got a young team and you know deep down you're not going to contend, you know deep down you're not going to win. You know deep down this is a year of growth. Don't underestimate how damaging it can be to not be able to finish off a game, because there are going to be nights where you're going to work your ass off and you're going to catch an opponent napping and things are going to go well and you're going to have the lead. And if you can't close it out, and in hockey, I think we're talking about goaltending. If you can't close it out, that can become really deflating. Doesn't matter how good the young players are. At some point, people like to look at the standings and go, hey, we've got these many points. We've won some games. And I want to ask you, through four games, I don't want to draw any conclusions yet necessarily about Frederik Andersen or Joonas Enroth, and certainly Joonas Enroth last night, there was nothing he could do in the winning goal. But I think there's some people in Toronto right now already questioning whether or not this team is good enough in goal. Not good enough to go to the playoffs or win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But are they good enough, Ren, that these young guys can get that reward? Because everybody likes to be rewarded at some point, right?
And you have to be rewarded because you're working hard on the ice. And there's no doubt about what you're saying, and I'm totally with you. You need goaltending. And before thinking about big-time goal scorers or, really good forwards like maybe the Toronto Maple Leafs have right now, at the end of the day, if your goaltender is not making saves, there's no game plan for that, to be honest with you. And it's really frustrating. And you look around the league, Jeff, right now, and there's a lot of issues with goaltending. I know Toronto is there's a problem there. Look at Ottawa. You have a new coach there trying to put a new system in place. And I don't care if they're winning games. It's a minimum of 3 goals per night that right. goaltenders are going to allow. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle right now that they're able to have a lot more wins than loss. And it's not going to last, to be honest. Expect the Ottawa Senators, if a guy like Craig Anderson is not playing better, and you've seen it before for the first 10 games in the regular season, you have teams like that. They're finding ways to win games with bad goaltending, but it's not going to last. I'm telling you, it's not. And it could be really, really dangerous for a coach like Guy Boucher to be there in Ottawa and trying to teach players to play the right way and be better defensively. But at the end of the day, if your goaltender is not making a save, and a simple save, it's not going to help at all. Arizona last night in Montreal, there was a problem there. The Kings won a game finally, but it's not going to be Peter Budaj is going to save the LA Kings. I remember last year in Montreal, you have Carey Price being injured. And I'm telling you, Jeff, the Montreal Canadiens in the month of December played around 13 games. They were the best team. And I'm telling you, they were the best team for at least 10 of those 13 games. Mm-hmm. By far, it was not even close. I think they had 2 wins or maybe 3 during the month. Okay? That was because of goaltending. So can you imagine the level of frustration when you're supposed to win and you can't finish, like Philippe Alou told you? The level of frustration is getting higher. And after that, everybody starts to point fingers. And you know how it is when everybody starts to point fingers. But the reality is you can point fingers to everybody. But if the goaltender is not making the saves, key saves, at least one. Can you give me one key save?
Mm-hmm.
No, please. That's the only thing we need. And so that I think the second you don't have any confidence in your goaltender, it's the second you're going to play a different style of hockey, and it's not going to work. So, yes, I feel for the Toronto Maple Leafs fans right now. It is a problem, and as much as you're going to hear that we need to play better defensively, at the end of the day, if you have a key save or two during a game, it will help. And I don't think that's what the Toronto Maple Leafs are getting right now.
What are people saying so far? And again, I know that it's early days, Ren, but what are people saying so far about this young Leafs team, people around the NHL?
People are saying that in the future they'll be a dangerous team. Okay,
mm-hmm.
There's more positive vibe around that team than there was maybe a year ago. Rightly so, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You have Austin Matthews now, which we all know he's going to bring a different feeling and a different vibe to the organization. What people are saying is, really, you have Connor McDavid, who arrived last season. The Oilers played well with him, but he got injured, and it turned sour after that. You look at the Oilers right now, they're playing really well. And they played a good game again last night. And Cam Talbot was there last year, too. It's not like he just arrived. But you see that there's more... good sign with the Oilers. Things are going in the right direction. It's not perfect, but they're going in the right direction. You can see, I think, the Maple Leafs being the Oilers next year.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think, having a good start next season, playing really well, and maybe they're going to open eyes at that time. But we all know that this year is going to be a struggle. So it's a wait and see situation. I think people are happy to see a team that is a younger team with a lot of talent, but we all know it's going to take time. So that this is really what people are saying, but they're at the same time saying, "Look out! This team's going to be dangerous soon." And in the East, there's in that division, there's a lot of good teams. As you know, you have Montreal, you have Tampa. You have the Panthers, the Ottawa Senators are sniffing around. You have the Boston Bruins. Toronto Maple Leafs are going to make the playoffs. I think it's not going to be this year, But probably, and maybe if it's not next year in two seasons, but it's, they're not going to make – they're not just going to go in the playoffs. I think the year they'll make the playoffs, they will be a dangerous team.
Mm.
But let's be honest. I know it's early in the season, but Frederik Andersen needs to be better.
Yes.
And if not, don't waste your time and don't waste your energy. I mean, you have to find a solution. You have to think about the future, because you're not, even if you have the best forwards in the league and the best defensemen in the league, if you don't have goaltending, it's gonna hurt, and it's gonna hurt bad. So you don't want to be put in that position. I'm telling you.
In conversation with Ren Lavoie of TVS Sports, goal scoring is up again. Early days in the NHL, but goal scoring is up. It seems to me, just from watching the highlights and a couple of the games I have seen, I'm finding, maybe I'm the only guy, and again, it's early, but I'm finding the hockey a little more entertaining this year. First of all, I'll ask you, is that sustainable? And secondly, what do you think explains that that increase in goal scoring? Is it just, an early season trend? Maybe, the result of, we had the World Cup of Hockey, and guys may not have had a normal training camp, so they're still trying to get their sea legs. Groups are still trying to get together. What do you think explains the early season offense?
So I remember, I'll say that was close to a year ago, in November, actually, we went to the NHL GM meeting. And so Colin Campbell said we need to make sure that, the goalie equipment will be smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, we need to make the net bigger. Okay. So I had a discussion with Braden Holtby right after that. And Braden Holtby said, you know what, Renault? I'm gonna tell you something. Don't even touch the goalie equipment. I'm telling you one thing. We goaltenders will be in trouble soon, okay, even if you don't touch anything. And I said, why? I said, because I grew up with a goaltender coach all my life. I had a goaltender coach around me. But now, Renault, the Connor McDavid of this world, the Austin Matthews when he's going to arrive, all those skill players, since they were really young, work with skill coach.
Mm.
And when I played hockey when I was younger, there was no skill coach for the forwards and the Ds. It didn't exist. But now it do exist, and it's there. And you're going to see soon goaltenders having big-time problem and big issues because of those players coming in with so much skill that we never saw before. And he's right. I thought like when he told me that, I said, okay, well, maybe this is a way to say, you know what, things are going to change in the future, and you'll see there'll be more. I didn't expect that to happen this season, to be honest with you, but it is true. It is true. The players are coming in the league with a lot of skills. They're really dangerous around the net. They're faster than ever. You look at Austin Matthews. This guy is 19 years old. I can't believe it. I don't believe it that he's 19 years old. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's too good to be true. And you have Patrick Laine in Winnipeg. All those goals that he scored, you're going to tell me that goaltending was soft. But at the end of the day, he did score those goals. And you look around, and you have to be impressed by those young players coming in. And you need to understand that this is not maybe a goaltending league anymore. You have players with tons of skills. They're working hard during the summer. They have skill coach. They have, power skating coach since they were really young. So they're getting better. And the goaltenders are in, I'm not going to say a bad spot, because there's still those great goaltenders right now like Carey Price. But I'm pretty sure that when Carey Price, during the preseason game, the last preseason game in Montreal, when Austin Matthews took that shot and it was right over his shoulder, I'm still saying to myself that he wondered how Austin Matthews was able to put that puck right there. And it's not because Carey was soft on that play. It was not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that, for me, I think that what I've learned last year talking to goaltenders, they opened my eyes. I didn't expect that I'll see it right now, right away, but it's there. And we need to realize that, yes, the goaltenders are in trouble right now in the NHL because the skill level is really getting higher.
The Canadiens beat Arizona 5-2 last night. Carey Price's season debut looked like the Carey Price of old. Shea Weber had a really good game. And, you know, I got the sense, I watched a little bit of that game, Rand. Have people in Montreal, have they turned the page on the whole PK Subban, Shea Weber thing? I mean, I'm talking about the people who go to the Bell Center. Have they turned the page on that already? Because boy, they sure seem to be enjoying what Shea Weber was giving them last night.
Big time. And when they introduced Shea for the opening game in Montreal on Tuesday, you know, you've met Shea Weber, you talked to him, seen him. He's not the type of guy who's going to show a lot of emotion. Okay. I remember the team picture with Team Canada at the ACC before the start of the World Cup. He was the only one not smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he didn't want to be there, but he is who he is. And I don't know if you saw when he was introduced and the camera was on him, okay? I'm not saying there were some tears in his eyes, but it was unbelievable, his reaction. He was biting his, you know, his tongue and his lips, and you saw that it was something that he first of all really appreciated, and it was kind of a relief for him because he's not stupid. PK Subban was a beloved player for the Montreal Canadiens. The fans really liked him, and he was taking his spot. It's not his fault. He didn't ask for a trade, but he's there in Montreal. And his reaction in front of everybody was special. The fans were really cheering hard. And you know what? At the end of the day, and this is nothing against Nashville, but when you're receiving a standing ovation in Montreal, it's way different than in Nashville.
Okay? Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a special place to play hockey. He's a Canadian boy. He knows the value of playing in Canada. Won all the medals with Team Canada. And now he's back wearing the Montreal Canadiens logo. And he's seeing all these fans cheering for him. And I'm pretty sure you saw the reaction when he scored that goal last night. It's not only the fan. It's the way his teammates went around him and were so happy for him to score that goal. He's a special person. I look at when he played for Team Canada, and there was a couple of players from Team USA who tried to run him around. You should have seen the reaction from the other players. That was unacceptable for the other players to see a Shea Weber being hit. So nobody right now tried to hit Shea Weber in the Montreal Canadiens in his uniform. It's going to happen. When it's going to happen, Jeff, look at the reaction from the players on the ice. Every player are going to be all over the guy who touched Shea Weber.
Yeah, he really seems, Ren, to be a guy who, and this isn't to slag PK Subban at all, but you do get guys in sports who are just considered, they're really good teammates, and, you know, they engender not just feelings of respect, but there's almost a feeling of ownership. You almost feel as if a shot against that guy is a shot against the whole group. I guess it's a unifying thing is what I'm saying. I get the impression totally. Shea Weber's a unifier.
Totally. And by the way, if one of his teammates on the ice is getting hit and Shea believes that it's a cheap shot, you're going to see something happen. But by the way, that's what I said to Shea this week. I said, hey, I looked at a few games, and I'm looking at your penalty killing, and I noticed that there's nobody around you. Like, there's nobody going in front of the net. He said, you better take notice. There's not a lot of players wants to go around me. And he was laughing. And it's true. And, you know, I saw a couple of, plays. One play versus Pittsburgh when he was doing obstruction on Patrick Hornqvist big time from the corner to in front of the net. Obviously, the referees don't want to call that. It's Shea Weber. You know, he's got something special. The level of respect is not only with his teammates, it's with everybody on the ice. And I include the referees, by the way. And it's all around. It's all around. So Marc Bergevin's trade this summer, I'm not saying it was kind of a miracle, but think about it. They trade P.K. Subban, who's a really good defenseman, no doubt about that. But they had to make that trade, okay? And instead of getting a first-rounder and maybe a future guy or whatever, they got what they really needed. And something that we never talk about, the possibility that Shea Weber will be traded last year. Not once. The only time we've heard that Shea Weber was in the market or on the market was really the day the trade was made. And we couldn't believe it. And people were upset at the time. And Montreal Canadiens fans were upset at the time. I'm giving you another week. And maybe we're not going to hear about, that. P.K. Subban, again, not that P.K. is always going to be involved in Montreal. He's always going to be loved in this city. There's no doubt about that. But they trade for a guy that is so different, but bringing in so many things on the table. And it's really changing the culture of the Montreal Canadiens. And we feel it. We see it. And we're going to still talk about it all season long, Jeff, because I'm telling you, this team is a way better team than it was a year ago. Even if Carey Price was healthy, they're still a way better team right now.
Ren, appreciate you doing this. Always look forward to our chats, and you have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. That's Ren Lavoie, our NHL insider from TVS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ren Lavoie. Do not forget, by the way, Hockey Night in Canada, Saturday, the Maple Leafs at the Chicago Blackhawks. A lot of people comparing Austin Matthews' hands, his ability around the net, to Patrick Kane. Well, here's a chance to see them up close. Our Hockey Nation pregame show with Stelic and Hlushko will begin at 5 p.m. on Sportsnet 590. The Fan Hockey Central Saturday is 6:30 p.m. on CBC and Sportsnet Ontario. And a puck drop will be just after 7 p.m. on CBC. And our Leafs Nation postgame with Stelic and Hlushko will be at midnight on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, again, the Maple Leafs 1-1-2 at the Blackhawks. They're 2-2-2 Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada. The Canadian University Sports, or Canadian University Sports, one of our corporate partners here, has unveiled a new logo yesterday. A new branding. Henceforth, Canadian University Sport will be referred to as U Sports. Graham Brown is CEO of U Sports. Normally, when an organization rebrands, it takes the opportunity to reset goals. It takes the opportunity to confirm or overhaul philosophical underpinnings. I mean, otherwise it's really, you're essentially just kind of putting a new cover on the same book. So what does this mean for university sports in Canada? Graham Brown, CEO of U Sports, joins Stephen Brunt and myself, and then we'll have our hour-long Blue Jays roundtable with Shai Davidi and Arden Zwelling. That ahead on the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt. Graham Brown, CEO of U Sports, joins us in a few minutes. Mr. Brunt, you'll be part of our Blue Jays roundtable.
Yes.
Pardon me with...
Looking forward to it.
Shy Davidi and Arden Zwelling. We'll put a bow on the season, at least until the first player move or off-season, the off-season business of baseball gets going. You and Shy were all over the place yesterday.
Well, I was
wrapping up the season.
Yeah, Arden was here yesterday. So I feel like I'm living with these guys. So Arden was here yesterday. Then I did Tim and Sid with Shy. And then I was solo with Zahn and Campbell. So, yeah, it's been a full day of post-morteming.
First time I've seen.
I guess that's the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Post-morteming or posting mortems? I don't know.
Isn't there a guy named Post-Mortimer? Mortimer? I don't know. First time I've seen Shy without a suit on.
Yes.
In, God, at least 4.5 months.
That's true.
Although he did have the corporate. I see he's wearing the corporate sweater, which I'm actually wearing right now.
Yeah,
I'm
wear not, the logo.
No. You know why? Because the corporate sweaters are they're spectacularly
they're very
warm
nice.
And cozy.
They're very nice.
They really are. So, again, we'll have a Blue Jays roundtable with Shy and Arden and Stephen Brunton and myself at 10 o'clock. Cliff Floyd will join us on Baseball Central, our final show, final Baseball Central show this year.
You know, I'm feeling very sad about that because
I am too. I'm going to go through Kevin Barker withdrawal.
It's like Big Poppy's last game, right?
That's, it is.
You know, it's and with the thing is with Barker, sort of like Big Poppy, you didn't know when it was going to happen, right? If the Jays were still in,
that's right.
Could have been next week if they'd won the World Series. He'd probably be here for the parade, but now.
Yeah, so you know, I was gonna try to figure out it's I was gonna say our gain is the Elks loss.
That's bad news for the Elk. That's
bad news for the Elk. Yeah, that's right. Someplace out there,
there's an elk
that doesn't realize that it's just had a week shaved off its life.
Otherwise, it would have lived a long, happy life, had little grand elks, and died in its sleep. But now,
not now.
It's going to hear that familiar voice, and the last thing it hears is going to be Kevin Barker.
That's right.
Going, wooey!
Got that one. Get the head out. Got the foot down. Got it singing. Anyhow. Barker will be in at 11 o'clock. Cliff Floyd joins us. Joey Vendetta as well will be on.
Was he sitting like the front row with the...
He wasn't with Dennis Gilbert and all those, the guys eating... no, he was not in the front row. But he did send me a picture of garlic fries, which I greatly appreciated. Because apparently it used to be Dodger Stadium. It was the Dodger dogs were the big thing.
Exactly.
Now I imagine they're just probably like every other hot dog. You know, they're the meat that every vegetarian can eat. But it never used to be that way. It used to be the Dodger dogs where they had the special taste of them. And I think the thing with Dodger dogs is they were never really cooked. They were just kind of warmed enough that the bacteria was bouncing around inside the casings, which is how you want your hot dogs. You don't want them cooked, right? You want your hot dogs just warm enough so that the bacteria is living. And then, of course, it was on these great... Anyhow, that's gone now. And, of course, now Dodger Stadium is like every other place. They got all these, you know, fancy schmancy tacos and nachos and, you know, rice bowls and crap like that.
I just have a feeling Joey Vendetta experiences Dodger Stadium differently than you or I would.
Oh, he does.
Just like he experiences many things differently than you or I would.
He my favorite is whenever Live Nation has a night out for their employees. And I'll tell you one thing. When Live Nation has a night out for their employees, it's a night out. He'll send me a picture, for example, from an Anaheim Ducks game from the suite. And, you know, you've got this huge cake, you know, and you've got these little Anaheim Ducks cookies. Yeah,
I wasn't thinking of cake, but I'm sure he experiences things differently than you and I do.
Well, I was trying to keep it clean. That's all. As I look inside and Travis is busying himself, Derek's kind of ducked down. Something pops up out of the cake. Exactly. Something's always popping up when Joey Vendetta's around. Anyhow, we'll do our Blue Jays roundtable. Joey's going to join us, talk a little bit about the Dodgers. Joey does. He spends an inordinate amount of time out at Dodger Stadium, as a matter of fact, which is not surprising because it's actually a pretty cool place.
I hope like heck that series gets to a game 7.
I do too.
I want them to sweat a little bit in Wrigley.
I do too.
Way more fun.
Yeah, and I want the whole... potential Steve Bartman potential to raise its ugly head. And really, I'm cheering for the Cleveland Indians.
Indians. No, I'm with you there. But I guess Kershaw can't start back to back games, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
That may be an issue then.
That could very well be an issue. We talked before the break about our friends at Canadian University Sport, or as they're now calling it, U Sports. They rebranded the organization yesterday, announced the rebranding of the organization. It will now be called U Sports. And I am old enough to remember the Canadian Inter-University Athletic Union. In fact, I'm old enough to remember, because they make a point here, the maple leaf that they're using on their logo is from it's kind of a unique design found on what they're saying was old CIAU letterhead from the 1980s. I actually have some of that letterhead because when I was going to the University of Manitoba, I was the official statistician for the CIAU West men's hockey. Did you know that, Brent?
Sort of like being the team manager, isn't it?
I was the official statistician.
Yeah,
so
it's, it's not a glamorous position.
Well, this was back, this was like 19, this would be 79, 80. And what I used to do is I used to, every Monday, I would get all the game sheets. They would be couriered to me in my office at the Manitoba, and I'd have to go through them and mark down, this guy got one goal, this guy going. Anyhow, so I actually have some of this letterhead. That's a bit of a digression. Actually, it's a significant digression, isn't it? Graham Brown is CEO of U Sports, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Graham, thanks so much for doing this morning.
No problem. Good morning, gentlemen.
You know, whenever an organization rebrands or, you know, unveils a logo, you like to think that it also sort of, it's, you know, in addition to sort of a visual presentation, a visual representation of the organization, in some ways, it's also, I think, got to be a reaffirmation of principles and you know, guidelines and goals. In addition to what we saw here with the unveiling, is that going on as well behind the scenes?
Maybe to some degree. I think, you know, in terms of our vision and values, I think it's fairly consistent across Canada. I mean, we're student-athlete focused. We're student-first. You know, the athletic part has become you know, no more or less important. It's what they do. But I think right now what the brand was just trying to do was just communicate to a different demographic.
So, well, tell me how that's going to work, right? Because the old brands and the old names, you know, this the CIAU and even the CIS were kind of, you know, among other things, kind of awkward, right? They were it didn't exactly roll off the tongue.
I liked CIAU.
Yeah, well, you would.
But I'm old.
Yeah, you're old. So obviously this is more kind of to the point, but what else does it accomplish?
Well, I think first, it's, with the U Sports Canada, with the mark and the brand that we have and the name, it just the acronym piece was very difficult to build anything off an acronym. Any sport brand that's successful off an acronym is successful likely for many other reasons than the acronym itself. So we wanted something that was fresher, that was more modern, but also address the acronym issue that we had and also the bilingual issue that we had. We have two acronyms in Canadian Inter-University Sport, you know, the French acronym SIC and the English acronym CIS. The brand was very hard to look at the whole marketing concept. And when you look at, you know, any commercial partnerships, when you're looking at a brand, your brand needs to communicate in a little bit of the essence of what you're standing for. And it needs to be more modern in our case. I would say our primary target right now is, in fact, probably not all of us who remember the CIAU, albeit we're an important part of it. It's a more youthful brand, and it's speaking to the high school students. And a lot of our research around it was, you know, who are the young people that we're trying to get engaged in university sport that are either going to be attending universities, and we want them, when they get to their university, to understand, you know, what the university sport spectrum is when they get there. And also the future student athletes, and you know, we've got a really good campaign that we will enter into next year. We've launched the brand, and we'll work through this year. Next year's focus will be entirely on university and high school students. So getting our brand into the high schools and promoting university sport in Canada into the high school market. Right now, I think it's safe to say that when you go into the high school market, it's probably south of the border that they recognize and know, and they know very little about north of the border.
Now, the Vanier Cup will be held in Hamilton. That's sort of, I guess, the first kind of big event, big chance to show off the logo and the rebranding. What will we notice, those of us who live in Hamilton and who will be at the Vanier Cup, what will we notice about a Vanier Cup under the U Sports banner compared to what we used to see?
Yeah, probably not much in terms of we're going, whether it were the current or the previous CIS brand or the U Sport brand, the Vanier Cup will be run very professionally. It's a great stadium. Our media partners, Sportsnet and TVA Sports, will present it very well. The brand is just something we're going to rally behind. So, you know, we'll be able to message our stories differently with that brand. If you were following any of the social media yesterday, you could see the locks that we did with our U Sport brand and the school brands across the country. It's just giving us an opportunity to communicate them differently. And what I've used the term more like a sports property than a sport governing body.
Graham, we wish you all the best. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, gentlemen, thanks.
Graham Brown is CEO of U Sports, and they have rebranded. I kind of like the logo, but like I said, I also like the Canadian Inter-University.
But it is,
team, but I'm old.
But it was always awkward, right? And it's, you know, mm-hmm. they need, it's university sport, and again, I think mostly of university football. I know you had a university hockey connection, but I really do think of it in terms of CIS football. But it's, you know, part of the challenge with it has always been to kind of, you know, it's very regional. It's mm-hmm. very much a regional game. And, the Quebec Conference is a world unto itself. The OUAA is kind of a world unto itself. The Atlantic and the Western, they all kind of, you know, and I think the idea of kind of trying to give it a national identity and give that national championship a national identity rather than a regional identity, it's always been tricky.
You know? Oh, it has. And one of the reasons I think that, you know, the rebranding, the importance, there was an importance placed on kind of keeping it simple is because you are dealing, and I will give you sports credit for this, you are dealing with two languages in this country. Mm-hmm. You need to come up with something that speaks to both languages, but also both cultures.
Yes.
You know? And you made the point, not only is the world of college football in Quebec, not only is it a world under itself, it's a well-financed world unto itself.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
it's a machine.
You mentioned the Vanier Cup, so that's coming up on the 26th, I think, of November in Hamilton.
Yeah.
And the way it plays out, I think the Ontario team has to go to Quebec,
mm-hmm.
and the Atlantic team goes to the West, so you're very likely you're going to have a Quebec versus Western matchup there,
yeah.
You know, so which is tricky. But, you know, either University of Montreal or Laval, you know, the two mm-hmm. powerhouse teams, and they're both, yes, as you said, they're funded like pro teams.
Yeah.
You know, one of these days they're going to have to figure out that haves and have-nots thing in CIS, well, U Sports football.
Yeah.
And whether you go to a Super League at some point, kind of a, you know, which has been talked about. But
I think that, I mean, my own feeling is that's probably where it has to go, is a Super League.
But there has to be the money, right? And you need...
Well, you need... And the one thing you need, you absolutely need is a TV partner. You absolutely need a TV contract if you're going to do that.
Yep.
There's, you know, there's no other way around it. And we wish the folks at U Sports luck. We will convene a Blue Jays roundtable. Shai Davidi and Arden Zwelling joining Stephen Brunton and myself. We'll put a bow, a big blue bow, on the 2016 Toronto Blue Jays season when the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.